Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Colossians 3 verse 1. It's a really profound teaching by Paul in his writing to the church in Colossae. And it's actually one of my real go-to passages of scripture in the New Testament. It's a text I come back and read and reread on a semi-regular basis, not because I don't understand it, but if you actually read it, it's pretty simple. The reason why I keep reading and rereading it is because it's actually really hard to live it out. And it's going to make sense to you when we read Colossians 3 verse 1. It says, since you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Verse 2, here's the hard one. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. How many of you know that is really great advice for 2025? Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in His glory. Can we give God a big shout of praise for that text? Thank you so much, Shankai. Today, I want to speak to you about something that I hope will lift and challenge your heart and call you upwards to see your life in the light of how I believe God wants us to see all our lives. And it's based on this very probing question, and it's this. What really matters to you? What really matters to you? This week, our church farewelled one of our very loved Nations people. Trina was graduated to glory after 2.5 year battle with cancer. And whenever I attend a funeral or a memorial service, it really makes me think once again about life, our life here on earth and what it all means. And, you know, as believers, we obviously hold to a strong belief that this life isn't all that there is. In fact, how many of you know that this life is only a small part of our whole existence? Come on. You guys don't believe that? This life here on earth is only a small part of our whole existence, right? And at the start of every year, it's always important to be reminded that how we see our lives and what we think our lives are about will actually dictate what we do with our lives. And now being the start of the year, as we think about the year that is to come, how we see our lives will determine how we're going to spend our year. In fact, it's already framed or outlined what we're going to be doing with our lives this coming year, and it will reveal to us what really matters to us in life. It will expose what are the things we think are the most important to us. It will highlight to us what we value the most. And so at the start of 2025, I want to reflect the mirror of the Word of God onto you. And you might not like me preaching this sermon today, but please know that I'm preaching this today because I love you and it's got to be preached, amen? So it's time at the start of 2025, I think, to do a stock take. It's time to take stock on what are the things that matter to us the most and ask ourselves this question, do those things matter to God too? What do we see as the most important things in life? And are those things important to God as well? What do we value in this life the most? And do those things have any eternal value? So here in Colossians 3, Paul speaks to Christians in the church of Colossae, and he's obviously addressing a tension that all believers face. And the tension is this: I'm born again, I believe in Jesus, I identify with the death and the resurrection of Jesus, my spirit man has been awakened and regenerated, yet I find myself constantly living carnally minded. How are you with me? That's the tension. I still find myself preoccupied with things that have very little eternal significance when I actually stop and take stock about how I see my life. And for many of us, we call ourselves believers. We claim to be crucified with Christ. We wear the church merch. We have the baptism certificate on the top drawer of our study. Come on, somebody. We're Bible-believing Christians, we post on Instagram. And yet if we're honest with ourselves, we can spend whole chunks of our year thinking about earthly things far more than eternal things. thinking, ruminating, being concerned, being preoccupied with what outfit should we wear today? How do people think we look? How many likes we've got on our social media posts? How many followers have we got? We can be preoccupied with thinking about our next holiday, planning our next wine and dining experience, thinking about and fantasizing about the next time we play golf and getting our handicap down, the next series we're going to binge watch on TV or whatever streaming platform that takes money out of our credit card every month, the next thing we want to buy online, the next cruise we're going to go on, that awful thing that person said to us, that terrible thing that other person did to us, the car that keeps breaking down, which celebrity couple just broke up. And that could just be what we think about in any given week. Come on, somebody. And now, there's nothing criminally wrong with any of that, but the Bible constantly reminds every believer to ask ourselves this question: what really matters to you? Because what matters to us is what we'll inevitably find ourselves investing most of our time, our talents, our resources, our energy, our thinking, our preoccupations with. That's why Paul says this to the Christians in Colossae: think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. That's the word of the Lord for you in 2025. Come on, somebody. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of the earth. Now, this is where rugby fans think they got a bit of a doctrinal loophole because they think that rugby is the game they play in heaven. I've got news for all the South Africans, the Kiwis, the Irish people today. There is no way in heaven that there are some 100-kilogram guys that are sticking their heads in between their teammates' butts and pushing forward, grunting until the ball comes out, and then they start chasing the ball. It doesn't happen in heaven. All right? When the Bible talks about thinking about the things of heaven, it speaks about intentionally thinking about eternal things, not temporary things. Why would Paul teach in Colossians 3 this whole idea to born again, spirit-filled, post-Pentecost Christians? Isn't it a given that we who are Christians just automatically have our minds set on eternal matters? Well, the answer clearly is no. Come on, somebody. For as long as we are saved but live on the earth, the battle is on for what things occupy the primary place of importance in our hearts and minds. And Paul knew this, and it reminds the believers in Colossae to think about the things of heaven, not the things of the earth. And Paul knew that what you think about the most reveals what matters to you the most. Come on, you guys out there. Paul is essentially saying, whatever it is that's on your mind the most is going to reveal to you what is the most important, what you see is the most valuable, what you see, come on, what matters to you the most, right? And I'm also here to tell you that what you choose to think about the most this year will determine what matters to you the most. What you choose to think about the most will determine what matters to you the most. It goes both ways. So at the start of 2025, let's make a decision to choose to occupy our minds and our lives and our hearts with things that really matter eternally. Can I get an amen from you? Jesus explains it like this in Matthew 6, verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Say treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Friend, I'm here to tell you today, if you choose to set your mind on eternal treasures, your heart will learn to value those things too. And soon, what you most be valuing over time are eternal things. And over time, what's earthly that once seemed so important will now seem petty to you. My goal is to lead a church that come the end of 2025, the stuff of the earth is just petty to you. It's the small stuff to you. The stuff that used to bother you, that had no eternal value back in 2024 and 2023. My goal as your leader is to lead you to become the kind of disciple where all of those things have no hold on you anymore. Come on, somebody. the stuff that used to trip you up and the things that used to just fill your mind with stuff. My prayer for you is that when you get to the end of 2025, your eyes are going to be so fixed on eternity that you will live out Colossians 3 so much that you'll start to think about things through the lens of eternity, that the stuff that is of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. How many of you want to be that kind of believer? I want to be that kind of believer. Let me dive a little bit deeper into this. There's no question that the plague of the 21st century is not COVID, but it's actually anxiety and worry. I think that's the true pandemic. We live in an age where we have more at our disposal, more resource, more access to information, better healthcare, better living conditions, better technology than at any other time in human history. From an earthly perspective, life has never been this good. I can't speak for every other country. I only live in Australia. But I can say that statistically, our average life expectancy in Australia is 82.3 years. 50 years ago in 1975, the year I was born, the life expectancy was 72.6 years. In half a century, we've gained 10 extra years on the earth because of the quality of life we've learned to have. Life has never been this good. And yet, Australians are more anxious and worried than we've ever been, and Christians are no different. Have you ever wondered why? It's because I think anxiety and worry happens when what matters to us is not aligned with what matters to God. That's when anxiety and worry actually happens, when the stuff that we're so caught up in and we're so concerned about is actually not aligned with what matters to God. When we set our hearts and minds to value things that have no eternal value, it's a recipe for anxiety and worry, because the things that have no eternal value are shaky, inconsistent, and untrustworthy. Come on. You guys are getting real quiet. I know this is full on for some of y'all coming back from holidays, but I'm setting you up for a good year. Come on. See, immediately after telling his followers to consider what they value, treasures in heaven, not treasures on earth, in Matthew chapter 6, right? Jesus then goes on to teach his disciples on how to win over worry and anxiety. He says this in Matthew 6, 25. We keep reading. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. He can only say that after he set them up to think about eternal things. Come on, somebody. What you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear, is not life more than food, or the body more than clothes. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans, the unbelievers, run after or seek after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. This is what Jesus is saying. If the source of what keeps you up at night are things that are earthly, then what matters to us is not really what matters to God. Come on, somebody. If the worries of our life, in other words, what's important to us is how people think we look, whether it's earthly recognition, the need to be somebody, the need to be known, the need to be appreciated, the need to be acknowledged, the need to be respected, the need to be liked on social media, the need to be seen, to be affirmed. Maybe it's material things, the things that moth and rust destroy. Then Jesus has the right solution for us today. And I want this to be your verse for 2025. We're going to keep reading. Verse 33, Jesus then says this, after saying, treasures in heaven, not treasures on earth. And then going on to say, you need to be free from worry and anxiety. And this is the solution, verse 33. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And all these things that you worry about will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Isn't that life-giving? How many of you just wanna live on that verse and just make that food for you for the coming year? Seek first His kingdom and all these things will be given to you. Don't worry. Seek first His kingdom. Make that stuff of the kingdom where His dominion is. Make that the thing that really matters to you. And the things that don't matter eternally, that just doesn't matter anymore. And I'm very conscious that I'm speaking to a Myrie congregation, to Phnom Penh, and to Cork as well today. And you need to understand that we have a congregation in Phnom Penh, and Myrie, you are wealthy by world standards. Some of you don't think so, but you are wealthy by world standards. Turn to your neighbor and say, I know you're rich. By world standards, you're rich. I know you are. I'm aware that over time as Christians, we can get caught up in making things that don't matter so much, earthly things, and allow them to seem like they matter. Allow them to take treasured places in our hearts and minds. So in 2025, let's make a decision to be a church and to be the kind of Christians that keep the main things, that concern ourselves with things that really matter. In 2025, make this the year where you set your mind and your heart on things that matter eternally. Because if you do, the promise of Jesus is this: you will find yourself so free, so liberated, so unbound, come on, so unshackled by worry and anxiety and frustrations. The reason for that is because you weren't created to be preoccupied by earthly things. That's not what you were created to do. You are a spirit being simply having a human experience. The pursuit of things that don't matter eternally will only leave us more and more dissatisfied. The investment of our lives in the things that don't matter eternally will only leave us more unhappy than before. I don't know about you, but there's nothing more depressing than to be Christian but concerning myself predominantly with earthly things. I've been there. If you endeavor to live a Christian life where you have just enough of God to get to heaven, but not enough of God to be free from the worries of this world, my friend, how horribly depressing is that? In other words, is this: a life of misery for a Christian is this, to be Christian and worldly at the same time. How horribly depressing to actually only have enough of God to get to heaven, but not have enough of God to be free from the trappings of this world. No wonder Jesus says, if you're just gonna be like pagan, just go all out and at least you'll have temporary happiness. But if you're gonna be cold, just be cold. But if you're gonna be hot, be hot. If you're gonna be Christian, then live in the pursuit of the things that matter eternally. See, as Christians, we should be ruined for earthly things. The reason for that is because Paul says this in Philippians 3:18, "For many walk, of whom I've told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind," here he is using that same language, "on earthly things," verse 20. It's a great reminder for us, "for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Every time I go to a funeral, every time I go to a memorial service for someone who's a believer, I'm constantly reminded, I'm not from this world. I might be on paper a citizen of Australia, but come on somebody, I'm not even a citizen of this world. My citizenship is in heaven. Come on, who's gonna join me today? To start thinking that our citizens, you were created to live for things that matter eternally because you are a citizen of heaven. So why get upset when you didn't get the 200 likes on social media? Why are you chasing cheap likes when you're unconditionally loved? It's what's keeping you up at night, what that person said about you. Is what's keeping you up at night, what you thought they did to you, what you thought your auntie that told your cousin, that told your sister, what they said about you. Come on. My prayer is that by the time we get to the end of 2025, there's going to be such a strong foundation of faith on the inside of you that you do not forget that you are not from this world, that you are a citizen of heaven. Yes, there are earthly things that happen that may disappoint us, but you must never forget that if you set your mind on things in heaven, not on things of the earth, then there is nothing on the earth that can take you down, that can rock your world. Come on, somebody. Because if you actually try and live as a believer, but tethered to things of the earth, you will live unhappy and dissatisfied. You could buy, sell houses for the next 10, 20, 30 years and yet still never find home. The reason for that is because you're not of this world. Come on, somebody. C.S. Lewis says this, if we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world. The most probable explanation is that we were made for another world. The things that we think give us pleasure are only temporary. But in 2025, it's time to readjust, recalibrate, reset, and redirect our hearts, our minds, our thoughts, our aspirations, and our desires towards things that really matter, things that have eternal value, things that God calls important. Can we give God a big shout of praise today? Let me push this revelation a little bit more for you. You know, I think sometimes when it comes to our walk with God, we can misalign what matters to us about the Christian faith even, and church, with what matters to God about our Christian faith and our walk with God and our engagement in church community. I'm going to exegete a text that's not very fun to read because of how confronting it is, but because it's already the third Sunday of the year, I'm not going to go easy on you, okay? I was easy on you the first couple of weeks of the year. We're well into 2025 now, right? Matthew 16, verse 17, it says this. Jesus answered and said to him, saying to Peter, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, renames him. And on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades or hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. How many of you would like Jesus to give you that kind of promise? Well, he already has. And this was the intention of Jesus, to build this kind of church with this kind of believers in it, with that kind of authority. Verse 20, then he commanded the disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. The time had not yet come. Understand that? Verse 21, from that time, Jesus then began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. So here in Matthew chapter 16, I'm just going to unpack it for you a little. Jesus reminds the disciples of heaven's agenda. It's been prophesied for centuries that the Messiah would come, he would adopt human form, he'd be crucified, and on the third day he'd be resurrected. So there's nothing in Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, of what Jesus said that had deviated from ancient scriptures. This should be no surprise to anyone what Jesus had just said. Jesus was just trying to shift his disciples to switch their thinking. The reason why Jesus was giving them the heads up with this is because he had observed that at the time, the disciples had begun to get caught up in the euphoria of walking with Jesus in the flesh. They started to enjoy his teachings. They enjoyed his company. They enjoyed the leftover baskets of bread and fish. I mean, fish sandwiches for days. It's a good thing. Right? Then they enjoyed the attention the crowds gave them. I mean, like they rocked up to this party one time and all they had was water and then they ended up drinking wine. It is a good time with Jesus. They were witnessing signs and wonders and hearing teaching and revelation that blew their mind. And Peter probably was still on a high from just a couple of verses before having his name changed from Simon to Peter the Rock and having Jesus explain to him the kind of church he was going to build and how it was going to be immovable and you know, unshakable, just like his name, right? And it says this, we're going to keep reading. As soon as Jesus had finished reminding his disciples, right, of heaven's agenda, heaven's true mandate, eternity's mandate, Matthew 16, 22 says this, then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." Whoa. But he turned, Jesus turned, and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful, or you're not setting your mind on the things of God, but the things of man." Okay, let's unpack this. Are you ready? Okay, for starters, let no one in Nations Church ever be stupid enough to rebuke Jesus. Can we just do that for 2025? Can we just have an agreement that none of us is going to be ever stupid enough to rebuke Jesus, okay? Secondly, I believe that this was recorded in Scripture because it was a vital discipleship conversation to a man who had already believed in Jesus. Peter demonstrated what we would now call, in our modern context, a consumer mindset. When it came to his relationship with Jesus, he was far more concerned about enjoying what Jesus could give him than concerned about the mandate of Jesus to save humanity from sin and death. I want you to think about that. So here is Peter. Jesus is just telling him heaven's agenda for him as the Messiah. Peter said, "Oh, hold up. Jesus, come here. Right? That ain't happening. Just so you know, that ain't happening. Not on my watch." Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are not mindful of the things of God. You are mindful of the things of man." You guys are not getting this. Peter had a relationship with Jesus based on an earthly mindset. He had a relationship. He related to Jesus based on what I can get out of Jesus and what I can keep getting out of Jesus mindset. He would be what we would call in Australia a fair weather believer. How do we know that? Because he caved in when a couple of servant girls cornered him on a street corner after Jesus was crucified and he denied Jesus 3 times. Come on, somebody. Right? When Jesus was no longer there with him, he was now all at sea and rocked because he'd placed his value on what Jesus could do for him and how good it made him feel while he rolled with Jesus. So in your faith and in your walk with God, what matters most to you? Does being blessed by God and continuing to be blessed by God matter more to you, or seeing the church of God built, strong and immovable like a rock, where the gates of hell are not able to withstand its advances? Because this was what Peter was being rebuked by Jesus for. Jesus was identifying there was something misaligned even with his walk with Jesus. He was walking with Jesus all along saying, "I love what you're doing for me. I love what you're going to continue to do for me. And I want to roll with you forever because it makes me feel good. And this whole thing, after 3 years of leaving me and going to the cross and fulfilling your mandate to save all of humanity, I don't like that." Getting real quiet now. To which Jesus says this, "Get behind me, Satan. You are not mindful of the things of God, but you are mindful of the things of man." This is an unpopular opinion, but I'm going to say it anyway because I think this is what's happening here in Matthew 16. His church being built and advancing against the gates of hell matters more to God than what an individual gets out of their Christianity. What am I preparing you for? I'm preparing you for seasons that might come in the future where actually becoming a Christian can be very, very uncomfortable for you in the workplace. Very, very uncomfortable for you in the marketplace. Very, very uncomfortable for you at family dinners. What are you going to do then? Come on, somebody. Come on, surely we've got to come back to the place where we have a faith that is strong enough and unshakable enough as part of his unshakable Petros Ecclesia, the rock-like church, where we decide that you can do what you want to me, you can say what you want about me, but I'm not a citizen of this world, I'm a citizen of heaven, and I'm setting my mind on things in heaven, not on things on earth. And Jesus calls Peter's consumeristic Christian mindset satanic. He says, get behind me. The reason for this is if the devil can't take your salvation from you, then it's his desire to make you think that your Christianity and your place in church is all about what you can get out of it and what's in it for you. And then when the day comes where you no longer feel like you can get something out of it, you'll just walk away. Good preaching, PK. Good preaching, PK. Matthew chapter 16 is such a powerful text for the modern church, because I feel that there is a strength that God wants to build in our church this coming year. Come on, somebody. There's a strength that he wants to build in our discipleship. There is a strength that he wants us to walk in that is not mindful of the things of earth. That even though we say we love Jesus, we live predominantly with a very temporal worldview, with a very earthly worldview. But God is wanting to raise up a church that understands what it's like again to be rock-like, to be immovable, to understand that no matter what the world throws at us, we are going to be the kind of church that turns our eyes upon Jesus so that the things of earth will grow strangely dim. I don't know why it was real bright before, but now it's strangely dim. I don't know why those things were a big deal before, but now it's real petty now. I don't care for it. I don't know why those things used to bother me, but it don't bother me no more. I want to be that kind of believer. I want to raise a whole generation in that room to understand what it's like to love God, live in the world, but not be of it. To understand what it's like to say, Jesus, I am a follower of you, not just in the good times, but also in the bad. Not just in the blessed times, but also in the challenging times. Musicians, you can join me. I want to be the kind of believer that understands that this faith that I walk with Jesus, yes, I'm going to bless. Jesus already said, why worry about clothes and why worry about food? In our modern vernacular, why worry about material things? Why worry about temporal things? Why worry about what people say to us? Why worry about what people think of us? God's going to look after that. God's going to look after that. But when I set my mind on eternal things, there I find my heart also following. In 2025, if you never considered valuing the house of God, if you've never considered being part of the house of God as something that you should really prioritize, set your mind on it and watch your heart follow the investment of your thinking and your preoccupation. Come on, somebody. If you've never considered that maybe a midweek community, a touch point of faith, is valuable investment fortnightly for you called a connect group, I want to encourage you to do that. Consider that and then watch your heart follow the choices of your life. Come on, somebody, right? Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. When you make a decision to value eternal things, you'll find your heart naturally pulled towards it. But when you set your mind on temporal things, you will find your heart naturally pulled towards that. And I can tell you now, which is more shaky ground than the other. My prayer for us today, musicians, you can join me, singers, come and join me. I want to say this to you today. Allow the Word of God in 2025 to reflect back to you throughout the year. What really matters to you? What really matters to you? My prayer for us is that come the end of the year, we're going to be found to have said, Jesus, the only thing that matters is you. And I've got my sights set on eternity. And for as long as you have me here on this earth, I'm going to live and live it for you. But the day is coming where there's going to be a greater glory. And now I know why the things of the earth will grow strangely dim. And I'm going to live like in my whole existence, my time on the earth is a small, tiny portion in the light of eternity.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.